Did you know that skincare can start in the laundry room? All Free Clear is the number one laundry detergent brand recommended by dermatologists, allergists, and pediatricians for sensitive skin. All Free Clear is 100% free of dyes and perfumes. It provides an effective clean that's gentle on skin while removing impurities like dirt and body oil without leaving irritating residues. Plus, All Free Clear liquid is Safer Choice certified by the US EPA. For a clean you can feel good about, all you need is All Free Clear.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We're going to talk about a special garden, and this is not something that spreads out over many acres with fountains and all sorts of falderals. This is something very different.
Very, very different. So it's situated in Beijing. Now, coming up to COVID, I did a lot of work in China and in particular in Beijing. And I remember driving across when the traffic was moving and it took me 2.5 hours end to end. So Beijing is absolutely massive.
But there was a time there were all bicycles in Beijing.
And still bicycles, still piles and piles and piles of bicycles. And of course, the scooters that you get everywhere. Actually, the bicycles are amazing because they just pile them up, mountains of bicycles. They just throw them on top of each other for some reason. So Beijing is very built up. I remember I was working with a landscape company there and I was talking to the daughter of the owner and she talked to me about her apartment. This is just to illustrate the lack of space. And she had to make decisions on whether she would have furniture, i.e. tables and chairs, or places for her children to play in the apartment. The space was so restricted. So this brings us to our story of this remarkable
garden. Before you do that, if people had a house, what kind of a garden is a typical Chinese garden?
So a typical Chinese garden would be much like we'd picture an Oriental garden. They really appreciate natural materials. So stone, water, wood, any of those.
A Japanese kind of feel to it.
Yes, actually the whole tradition of Japanese gardens came, as with much stuff, came from China, originally. And in China and in Beijing, there are ancient gardens. I went to see the Forbidden Gardens, which are part of the Forbidden Palace complex. Now, their garden maintenance wouldn't be brilliant because they have different traditions, different views on that. And certainly one of the reasons I was out there working, as I say, all around China was they, at that stage, were really dismissing the Chinese heritage and they wanted everything new and European and shiny from the Chelsea Flower Show. So me and a number of other garden designers were shipped out to give them virtual Chelsea Flower Shows. They wanted parks, eco-parks, for their people. So lots of people have left the towns and villages in rural countryside, moved to the city. There's a whole new, very wealthy middle class and they want some place to weekend and holiday. So these villages were being turned into eco-resorts.
Okay, and the problem, I suppose, in a densely populated place like Beijing, there is no prospect of a private garden space.
No, there isn't. Now, at the occasional villa, which I went to see some of these villas, and they're fairly remarkable, but behind really tall walls, closed to everybody else. So there isn't any space. And the climate can be quite harsh. The climate can be quite harsh, and also the conditions, because the smog. I remember going jogging there, and my throat was just choked up. But it is amazing to see when you walk or run down along the streets, old traditions and new, because people had little shrines on the footpath in central Beijing, burning incense and making little bonfires, giving up offerings for deceased relatives.
So we're going to hear now is someone who managed to find a garden space.
So this guy was amazing. His name was Zhang and he lived on the top floor, the 36th floor of an apartment block in Beijing, in quite a nice part of Beijing, because at the base you can see, if you look at pictures, that there are lakes and trees and parks and whatever. So he lived in this quite remarkable place, but he decided he was going to do something a little bit different. He got permission to build one story on, so a little bit of a penthouse on, because he lived up on top, but he took that to another extreme. He decided on a roof garden. It wasn't just a normal roof garden, it was a fully fledged mountaintop with a villa attached to it. a stunning blend of natural artistry and architectural.
Now, you have posted pictures of this.
Yes.
I mean, it's quite extraordinary. At superficial glance, it could be like a rubbish tip on top of this rather large but not terribly attractive office building.
No,
or apartment building.
These apartment buildings, they design them by now. So if they design one, there's 100 of them
okay.
built. They're all the same. The same in places like Seoul and South Korea. You'll have, you know, acres and acres of these type of things. So it wasn't particularly attractive. So he built his penthouse, and then he decided to cover it and make a mountain of it. So he used some artificial material, a bit like fiberglass, mm-hmm. to create the form, these natural forms of mountains. And into that he had pagodas and groves and koi carp ponds and a nightclub and a swimming pool, and it went on and on and on. And it was a marvel in a way. Of course, it could only be seen, it couldn't be seen from the ground. It could only be seen by people in other penthouses looking across.
And was it open to the public?
It wasn't open to the public. It was open to his friends and celebrities. So singers and actors used to go to party there amid this greenery on the rooftops, having these most amazing views of Beijing. But there was a problem. He had so many streams and he had so many lakes and ponds that they began to leak into neighbours' flats. And there was another problem. There was only one elevator for the whole of the building. And what he brought up was, he spent 5 years doing it, or his workforce did, tons and tons of steel and soil and plants and fish and all the materials, all the wood needed to create this artifice. So people could never get the lift.
His
lads were up. The noise was absolutely mind-boggling of this construction work going on.
So was there a management committee or an owner's cooperative? Or
yeah, there was. And they all complained and they all wrote to the local Communist Party, and nobody really did anything because he was fairly wealthy. He was a doctor and he had chains of pharmacies all around the country, and this had cost him $4 million to create. So nobody did anything until it started getting some international media attention. And then all of a sudden it was seen as being ostentatious. So he was made a promise to take it down, and he was given 15 days to take it down.
It took 4 years to build it.
4 years, and he was given 15
days.
15 days
to take it down.
Of course, that didn't work.
No.
So he left the apartment. He contracted the same landscape firm who'd built the whole thing for him to take it down. He didn't go back for a year because that's the amount of time that it took. His family made him not look at any newspapers for that whole year, any news reports, anything at all. His hair went white overnight because of the stress of this. Originally, he'd been very arrogant about it, and he felt, I live there and whatever, I'm prepared. And also, there had been reports of some elderly neighbours being roughed up by his people when they complained about it. So it wasn't all.
Mr. Nice Guy.
But it was a remarkable endeavour in a way. It was the type of thing maybe that I'd have a go at, maybe not on that scale without looking for permissions. But it took them a year and it cost as much to take down as it did.
Now, the question of whether this was a one-off or whether there are other constructions that go up without any permission in China.
There are loads of, so it really brought to light the amount of constructions, because all over Beijing at all, there are some cities of 20 million people that we don't know the name of, that we've never heard of, and it happens all the time. And the other fascinating thing about it was the use of rock, disguising even the penthouse that he'd built into a swimming pool under rock. There's a whole huge, there's a big culture of using that idea of artificial rock and cladding whole buildings as if they were boulders to bring that bit of nature into the city.
It's an extraordinary country. I mean, you mentioned there are cities that we've never heard the name of, and it's also true of Italy, India.
Yes.
The same thing.
Yeah.
A city. I remember talking to a nurse in Crumlin Hospital and saying, where are you from? She mentioned someplace and I presumed it was a village.
Yes.
No, it was a city of 10 million people.
And of course, in India, there is one amazing, maybe we'll talk about it one day, one family who are incredibly wealthy who have built their own skyscraper just to live in. And I think it's in Delhi, it's one of the tallest buildings in the city, and it's filled with gardens on different levels, and it's just for one family.
Now, what is the legacy of this Hanging Garden of Beijing?
Well, it's all gone now. No legacy, nothing left of it, only this idea of this person who was named and shamed. But it does point out, in a way, the need for nature, in cities, in built-up areas, and how we will all always turn to that.
Do you know, is there anyone who advises local authorities and the planners? You know, the developers will want to squeeze every square inch of accommodation out of any plot.
Well, China is really quite amazing because about 15 years ago, central government gave the proclamation that China was now going to be eco. We know they produce most of the world's goods and whatever, but there's a price to pay for that. And as I said, the smog in Beijing. So once local government says it, once central government says it, local government has this job to do. And working throughout China, actually, it was quite amazing in ways. First of all, the restriction. I couldn't go on Google, for instance. So if I was out there for two and a half weeks or something like that, I wasn't able to carry on with my normal jobs in the West because you were disconnected. You could get on in some ways, but it was so laborious. But the other thing was, every place I went, it was to meet a new local government department. And it was their populations who were demanding that they wanted parks and they wanted gardens. So actually, the people had power. And every time they met you, this was amazing, Pat. Every time they met you, they had to have a banquet in your honour. Whether it was breakfast, whether it was lunch, whether it was dinner, you were the only person in a room of 30 people who didn't speak Chinese. They didn't.
And they were feeding you.
And they were feeding. And what a banquet it was.
Somebody feed German.
Yes. Yeah, because he was the guy who was going to come out in green, or the guy from Essex who'd won a gold medal at the Chelsea Flower Show was in the next town and he was going to do the same.
My goodness, what a story. Dermot Gavin, thank you very much for joining us. And that's all we've time for today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Did you know that skincare can start in the laundry room? All Free Clear is the number one laundry detergent brand recommended by dermatologists, allergists, and pediatricians for sensitive skin. All Free Clear is 100% free of dyes and perfumes. It provides an effective clean that's gentle on skin while removing impurities like dirt and body oil without leaving irritating residues. Plus, All Free Clear liquid is Safer Choice certified by the US EPA. For a clean you can feel good about, all you need is All Free Clear.